Let's take our Bibles and turn over to Psalm 27 in your Bibles this evening. Psalm 27. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture where there is very much a meditative look at Jesus Christ. Psalm 27. This evening I want to start looking at a series of messages, a series of lessons on the Old Testament tabernacle. And you know, when you see a picture of the tabernacle and when you study the tabernacle, you sometimes are caught up with the drabness of it. It was an old drab tent. There was nothing beautiful about it. It didn't look flashy and beautiful. And artists have created pictures of it that try to add some color and whatnot. But in reality, it was drab and dull and lifeless looking. It was just an old drab tent in a wilderness. And yet, that creates such interest amongst God's people. Why is it that old drab tent out in the wilderness creates such interest amongst God's people? It has so over the throughout Christian history. Well, I wonder if perhaps the interest in the tabernacle is linked to knowing God. Maybe the thing that has caused Christian people to be interested in the tabernacle is because it contains the mystery of what it means to know God, to be related to God, to be in a daily relationship with God that is meaningful in our lives. How is that accomplished? How does that happen? And the tabernacle contains the amazing secrets, the mystery of what it means to know God and how to know God. And so I think that perhaps it's the mystery of the lessons of the tabernacle that make that dry, dusty, drab old tent to have an appeal to Christian people. I want to turn your attention to Psalm 27 in verse number 4. This is a psalm of David. And David declared in Psalm 27 verse number 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." I want you to notice that David said, there's one thing that's important to me. Now, there's a lot of things that are important to us, aren't there? Family's important to us. Church is important to us. Certainly, our relationship to God's important to us. Our jobs are important to us. A lot of things are important to us. But David was a single-minded man. He said there was one thing that its importance overshadows the importance of everything else to the degree that I would say there is one thing that I desire. And that one thing is what I'm going to seek after. And I want you to see that one thing is strangely attached to a dry, drab, dusty old tent outside that had been hanging around Israel for hundreds of years. And there was something about that tabernacle that held the mystery that kept David captive to one thing that was all important to him. Now I would ask you tonight, is there one thing the importance of which overshadows everything else in your life? Is there a one thing in your life that receives more focus than anything else? You write about it more. You comment about it more. It's you get more joy out of it than everything else. Is there one thing that your interest in that singular thing is so powerful that everything else takes a subordinate position to that one thing? That's what David is expressing in the 27th Psalm. He's expressing that he is driven by one thing that he's passionate about, that he seeks after, that he longs for, that one thing that he desires more than anything else, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. The all-encompassing passion of his life. And I want you to see tonight, as an introduction to a study of the tabernacle, that it is mysteriously connected to a tent. And that tent drew him to it. It just tugged on him to come to that tent because of the one thing that he desired that overshadowed everything else. Let's take a moment and back up to verse number 1. Verse number 1, David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." Now, I've got two questions for you tonight. Question number one, what is this passion that so captivated the life of David? What is this passion? Well, I'm going to suggest to you that this passion has three parts to it as are unfolding in this Psalm of David. Three passions. Three passions that mold into this one thing that he wants more than anything else in life. First of all, there's a passion to understand God that is mentioned in verse number 4. He says, "My passion, my desire, what I seek after is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire." And I want you to notice those phrases. I want you to notice the phrase house and temple together. And then the phrase behold and the phrase inquire. You see those on your little sermon worksheet. This is a passion to understand God. He talks about the house of God and he talks about the temple of God. We know that the temple had not been built, what we call the temple. In David's day, the temple, as we know, the temple did not exist. His son Solomon would build that in another generation. When he speaks of the temple, he's talking about the tabernacle. When he talks about the house of God, he's talking about the tabernacle that Moses built, Moses and the children of Israel built, so many years before, generations before, there on at the foot of Mount Sinai. And so David is talking here about the house of God. He's talking about the temple of God. And what he's talking about is this drab, old, dull tabernacle. This structure. It's a strange structure. It was an enclosure. You can see on the picture there on the screen behind me that there was a tent wall that encompassed a big rectangle. And inside that tent wall, there was a brazen altar where they burnt the carcasses of slaughtered animals, and there was a big laver that contained water where they could wash the blood off their hands after slaughtering and burning the carcasses of the animals. And then there was a building. It was kind of a tent structured building. This artist portrays it with a little bit of color, some gold color to it. But in reality, it was drab. The skins that were used on the outer covering were dull and drab and unappealing and uninviting. And so there's this structure. Inside this structure, there's this candlestick. There's this table with some bread on it. There's this little stand that's got some, they burn incense on. And there's this golden box that's got a gold lid on it, and it's got some cherubim, some angelic carving of angelic sculptures over top it. It's a strange building, this strange structure. This is the tabernacle that David is talking about in verse 4, where he says the one thing he wants, the thing that he desires, that he seeks after, that drives his life, is to be at that drab, old, dry, dusty tent every day. He wants to be there every day. He says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I want to go to that place. I want to be at that place. That tabernacle draws me. That tabernacle captivates me. I want to go there every day. That's what I seek. That's what I long for. Why does he want to go there? Well, verse 4 tells us he wants to go there to behold the beauty of the Lord. To behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, the word behold has a connotation. You think of beholding something. You kind of stare at something and you look at something. You study it. It would have the idea of gazing at something. Like it captivates you. You just can't take your eyes off it. It just caught your attention. And so you're gazing at it. You don't take your eyes off it. You're beholding it in the sense that you're staring at it, thinking about it, contemplating. It arrests your attention and you stand there staring at it, thinking about it, contemplating, trying to understand something. What's he trying to understand? Well, the verse goes on to say that he does this. He beholds the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. To inquire. When we think of the word inquire, we think of questions, right? Inquiries welcome here. Come and ask your questions. He wants to inquire of it. There's an interesting word picture in the original language. It was used of a farmer plowing ground. This word was used of a farmer that would put his plow into the ground and the plow would dig deep into the soil to turn the soil over and reveal what's underneath the soil. This word speaks of trying to get into what's underneath. I want to understand what isn't on the surface. I'm not satisfied to just understand what I can see. I want to understand what's underneath what I can see. And he gazes at it. In order to be able to plow deeply into something, he wants to be able to understand. It was used of breaking forth, or it was breaking something apart, or was used to come for the purpose of investigating. And so here's a picture of David. David said, I'm drawn to this thing. It's mystery. I'm drawn to this dusty old drab building. And every day I want to go to it. Every day I want to be there. I want to spend some time every day at that old building. And when I'm there, I want to just stand and stare at it. I can't take my eyes off it. And when I'm staring at it, the reason I'm staring at it is because I'm trying to understand it. I'm trying to understand what's maybe hidden just out of view. I'm trying to figure out what this building means. I want to know what these pieces of furniture mean. I want to understand this amazing structure. It captivates me because it holds the mystery of the beauty of my God. The beauty of the Lord. This tabernacle holds the mysterious secret of what makes God so beautiful. What makes God so amazing? What captivates my soul about my God? It's not the building. I mean, it's just a tent for crying out loud. It's just made out of some old cloth and some skins and it's been hanging around for a long time. It's old. It's bleached out by the sun. It's got these strange pieces of furniture. It's not this building that is beautiful. But there's something about this structure and its furnishings that teach me the mystery of what makes my God beautiful. And I want to know God. This is the one thing that drives me. This is the one thing that I desire and I seek after every day. I want to know God. I want to understand God. I want to know what it is that about God that has made so many people for thousands of years give up their life and be brutally murdered rather than renounce His name. What is it about that God that is so mysterious, so captivating, so lovely, so appealing? What is it about that God that would cause a person to die rather than deny His name? I want to know God. What is it about that God that caused that boatload of people to leave Holland and stop over in England and then head to a new world where they could worship Him without governmental edict telling them they weren't allowed to worship Him in freedom? What is it about that God that has caused people to give up jobs and go around the world preaching the gospel after having amazing careers and then felt that God wanted them to do something different and they gave up what the world would say? You're giving up what? You're giving up your job, your car, your house. You're giving up all that America has to offer to go to some third world country to preach about a gospel and tell people about a Jesus. What is it about this God that would cause someone to do that? I've got to know God. I've got to understand God. I've got to see the beauty of the Lord. That drove David. That captivated David. And I want you to understand that the thing about the tabernacle that captivated him was not the tabernacle. It was what the tabernacle taught him about God. He saw the tabernacle as the mysterious link between his heart and understanding an amazing God. And because it was the link to understanding his God, he said, I want to be there every day just to sit over here on a stool and stare at it and meditate and contemplate and plow deeply into what this means so that I can understand God. So what is this passion? This passion is a passion to know and understand God. The tabernacle linked him to that passion. Not only is it a passion to understand God, but it's also a passion to be heard of God. Look in verse number 7. Psalm 27, verse number 7, David cries out in the context of this. He says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. He talked to God while he sat there staring at the tabernacle. His passion is to understand God. His passion is to be heard by God. He wants God to hear his heart. And he knows this tabernacle has something to do with the link between his heart and God. And he wants to know that God hears him. Does God hear you? When you talk to him, does he hear you? Or do you just talk to an empty room? David seemed to think that there was something about that tabernacle that linked him with the ability to be heard by his Creator. And then not only was it a passion to understand God, not only was it a passion to be heard by God, but in verse number 11, it was also a passion to be instructed by God. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, he said, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a path, a plain path, because of mine enemies. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me. He wanted God to instruct him. He wanted to be taught by God. He had a passion to know what God wanted him to know, to understand what God wanted him to do in life. Do you want to be instructed by God? Do you want God to tell you what he wants you to do? What if he tells you he wants you to do something you don't want to do? Do you really want to be instructed by God? Do you trust God enough to want to be instructed by God? Or would you just hope that he doesn't tell you anything that he wants you to do that you don't want to do? There seems to be something about this drab old building that carries a mystery of the link between David's heart and a God that he could understand how beautiful he is. A God who would hear the cry of his own heart. A God that would talk to him and tell him what he wants him to do, to lead him day by day in a path that is pleasing to God. A passion to be taught God's way, God's justice, God's righteousness, because he was surrounded by a world of enemies that did not know God. and he wanted God to teach him what was right. Do we want that in our lives today? Do we really want to know God personally? Do we want to know that God hears us when we cry out to him? And do we want to know what God thinks about what's happening in our lives so that we can do the things that please him? This was the passion of David's heart. And it was linked by the tabernacle that contained understanding. And so he wanted to sit there and stare at it, meditate on it, think about it, to try to understand God. This was a passion. He was drawn to this drab old tabernacle. He wanted to know God. I don't know about you, but that challenges me. We all live busy lives. We've always got more to do on our to-do list than what we have time to get done on any given day. Life can be so busy. We run from responsibility to responsibility, from task to task. We would say, wouldn't it be great to have the time David had to just every day go sit on a stool and stare at a building and meditate about God? I just don't have time. This challenges me. It takes time to know God. It takes time to know God. This challenges my soul. Every time I read Psalm 27, it challenges me that David was passionate about knowing God. This one thing, this is what I desire. Now, let me ask a second question, and this will allow us to be real relevant to our Western way of thinking. And that is, okay, say I have a passion for God. What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? What are the perks? How does a passion for God benefit me? And this, as I read and meditate on this 27th Psalm, I find that there are some amazing benefits to having a passion for God. If you have a passion for God that drives your life, that is more important to you than anything else in life, the thing that captivates you, the thing that drives you and motivates you, a passion to understand God, a passion to be heard by God, a passion to be taught by God. If this passion for God is that dominant in your life, there are some amazing benefits. The benefits are benefits that only come from having a passion for God. What are those benefits? Well, look in verse number 1. We'll jump from verse 1 to 5 to 10. And then we'll go back and look a little bit more. But we'll just jump down. Now, let me take that back. Let me read verses 1 to 3. And then we'll jump to 5 and 10. And I want you to see a common thread here. Verse number 1, he says, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" He then talks about the wicked as his enemies and his foes. They come up to eat up his flesh, and yet they stumble and fall. "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear." Verse number 5, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." In verse number 10, "When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up." I want you to notice a common thread here. He talks about his enemies and his foes, but he even comes down and talks about his dad and mom. And he says, when people are against me, and even if my dad and my mom turned against me, I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that. Can you imagine your dad and mom turning against you? It doesn't get any worse than that. But David said, when I'm in a time of trouble, even to the extent that my dad and my mom would turn against me, I have help from God when I'm in trouble. God hides me in the secret of his person. And he helps me when everything has gone wrong in my life. I don't know about you, but I sure do need that perk. You can get help from different people and different organizations, and there's different places you can turn to for help when you're in trouble. But there's nobody, there is nobody that can take the place of God as a helper when your back's against the wall and you are in big trouble. And that's one of the perks of having a passion for God. Because when you walk that close to God, driven by that passion to know God, then God is a help in a time of great trouble. When your passion is to know and communicate and be taught by God, then when trouble comes, help is always at hand. Here's a second benefit. The second benefit is in verse number 6. Verse number 6, he said, Now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto my God. He has joy when he is helped. When he experiences the help of God in his life. When he knows God has been active in his life and has helped him when he is in trouble. It releases a sense of joy and singing and spontaneity. He is filled with joy because his God is real to him and has helped him in his trouble. He has joy when God helps him. Now, I want you to see the last benefit is in verse number 3 at the end of the verse. The last benefit, he says, after talking about how that when all of his enemies rise up against him, God helps him. And he said at the end of verse 3, in this will I be confident. In this will I be confident. He says in verse number 5 at the end of the verse, he'll set me up upon a rock. Here is a strength. He is rock solid. He's unwavering. He's confident. Nothing's going to push him and blow him. He is standing with great confidence because God has been real to him. And that's an amazing perk, a benefit from being able to walk with God. Help when I'm in trouble. Joy when I'm helped. And confidence. Confidence in my God that everything is going to be okay. Now here's my question for you tonight. What drives your life? What drives your life? What motivates you in life? What is more important to you than anything in anybody else in life? Could you say with David, the one thing that I long for, I desire it, I seek it every day, the one thing, I want to know God. I want to understand everything there is to understand about him. I want to know that he hears me when I cry out to him. And I want him to talk to me, to tell me what he wants me to do. I want to have this kind of a relationship to God. And I know that when I have that kind of a relationship with God, there are some valuable benefits in my life that money can't provide, prestige can't provide, career can't provide, family can't even provide to the degree and level that David is speaking of. I have God helping me, giving me joy and confidence in life. Because of the passion of my heart to know him and walk with him. Now, that was David's experience. And he knew that the link to knowing God was that drab, dusty, old tabernacle. And so we're going to look at the tabernacle some upcoming Sunday nights. We're going to look at the different parts of the tabernacle. Why did God have them set that thing up? What did it provide for them? What did it mean? What did it teach them about God? What did it convey to them that was mysteriously powerful in their lives? Why was it that that was so important to God that that became the very center of their existence for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years? Finally replaced by a permanent structure of the temple itself. And so we're going to go walk through the tabernacle and look at the different parts of the tabernacle and try to learn the practical lessons of what God wants to convey to us about who he is that is so beautiful that David would say, I want to stare at this tabernacle so that I can behold the beauty of my God. And I pray and trust that examining this old tabernacle will link our hearts, like it linked David's, to the mystery of knowing God.